السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. بإذن الله تعالى today is the last of the lectures on this series قلب سليم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice what we speak and what we hear and to enable us to develop قلوب سليم, hearts which are pure, which are tranquil, which are complete, which are not diseased, which are not broken. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us and to make this easy for us inshallah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the day of judgment and he said, إِلَّا مَنَتَ اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with qalbun salim. There is success only for the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu with a heart that is full of tranquility, a heart that is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a heart which is accepting of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please understand on a side note that even though we say ahkam of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are not two separate things. To follow the sunnah is the hukum of Allah. So if I just say the ahkam of Allah, the sunnah is included in that. Please understand this. They are not two optional things that we have to do this or that, or this and that even. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To follow the sunnah is fard. Among the many things which are fard, this is called sunnah. That is the name of the fard. There is a fard called salah, there is another fard called zakat, there is another fard called sawm, fasting, there is another fard called hajj, and so on and so forth. Does not mean that because zakat is a different name, that somehow it is less than salah. It is not. All of these are faraid. And similarly, there is a fard called sunnah. To follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fard on anyone who calls himself a Muslim. So let us not get confused about this issue. It is not left optional on us to decide whether or not we want to follow the sunnah. It is not left optional on us to decide which of the sunnah we want to follow and which of the sunnah we want to deny or to leave aside. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to follow the entire life and every action and every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah said, for you, the best example is the sunnah of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah did not say, from his sunnah, the domestic part, or from his sunnah, the public part, or from his sunnah, the part that refers to ibadat, or from his sunnah, the part that refers to jihad, fi sabilillah, and so on and so on. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my whole, the life of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a good example for who? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For the one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَرْجُ اللَّهَ, who looks forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is waiting for this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I have mentioned many times before, you can only wait for something that is going to be pleasant. Nobody waits for a disaster. Nobody waits for something which is going to be nasty or painful. You try to avoid it, you try to run away from that if possible. You wait for something which you look forward to with great pleasure, with great anticipation, because you are expecting this to be wonderful. And that is why I've said many times before, including the Fajr reminder yesterday, I think that for the mu'min, the day he dies is the happiest day of his life. The day of the death of a mu'min is a day of rejoicing, is a day of great happiness. For that person, certainly we feel pain in terms of the parting. We don't like to be parted from our friends, and we love them, and so on and so forth. So there is a pain in the heart with respect to that. That is understandable. But it is not a day of mourning. It is not a day of sadness. It is not a day where we mourn or we regret the passing of somebody. We say, Alhamdulillah, this is the day for which the person was waiting. This is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now reward him in keeping with his majesty and grace for whatever the person did to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the day when the person is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu with the husna zan and with the expectation of forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ana inda zanni abdi bi. Allah said, I am for my slave the what he expects me to be. So here is the day when the slave is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the expectation of reward, and what does he get? He gets reward. This is the day when the slave goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with expectation of forgiveness, and what does he get? He gets forgiven. There is no doubt about this. There is absolutely no doubt about this. This is the wada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive, he will forgive. So therefore, that time and that day, but for who? For the slave. For the slave. Not for the individual, not for the independent individual who decided to make decisions based on his personal likes and dislikes. Not for the independent individual who decided to do this and to leave that. Selective obedience is disobedience. Because when you select to obey something, you are automatically selecting not to obey something else. It is one thing to do whatever the best we can do, and we still leave out something, but we are not leaving it out because we consider it to be unimportant. We are not leaving it out because we don't like to do it. We are not leaving it out because of any other reason. We leave it out because we are weak, because we forgot something, we did something. And if somebody says, what about that? We say, Wallahi, I should have done it. I'm sorry, I forgot. May Allah forgive me. That's a different mental attitude. But the other one is to say, no, this is not important. That is only a sunnah. Why should I obey that? Where does it say that I have to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It says in many places, including the Quran, in case you are interested. And there are several lectures of mine on that, so I'm not going into that. But I'm just saying that, please understand this very, very clearly. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is the one who will be successful on the day of judgment? The one who comes with qalbun salim. What is a qalbun salim? Qalbun salim is the qalb. It is the heart, and heart is as I mentioned before in the first lecture itself, that heart is not a complete translation or definition of the qalb. The qalb is the collection of the intellect and the emotion together. It's not just an organ pumping blood, and therefore, but for want of a better word, we say heart. So qalbun salim, a heart which is submission, which is in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The iconic position, the icon, the symbol of the Muslim is sujood. The whole life of the Muslim is a life in sajda. Physically sujood, when we make sujood in salah or otherwise, and mentally and spiritually and emotionally and in terms of action in sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of the person's ability. So what the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what the Abdullah and the Amatullah do not obey in from their action, if you do not see an obedience of a particular thing, it is not because they decided not to obey. It is because they are weak, it is because they are human, it is because it is the tendency of the human being to make a mistake, so they made a mistake, so they forgot, and inshallah al-musta'an, the forgiveness of my Rabb is enough for them and for us, inshallah. But please understand, the correction of the attitude must happen inside the heart. There is a difference between leaving aside because you forgot and because you are weak, and there's a difference between leaving aside because you decided what is important and what is not important in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Rabb of Muhammad said everything is important sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you are putting yourself up in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are saying to Allah, you said everything is important, but I don't think so. I think so. This is more important, that is less important. This is your position, ba zabane hal. بزبان عمل یہ آپ اللہ سے چیلنج کر رہے ہیں کیا آپ کہہ رہے کہ اللہ آپ نے تو کہا ساری زندگی اہم ہے مگر ہم نہیں سمجھتے ہم سمجھتے کہ اس میں سے یہ چیز اہم ہے اور یہ چیز تو ایسے ہی ہے کرتے تھے عادتن تھی اس کی کوئی خاص اہمیت نہیں ہے یہ آپ کہہ رہے سو پلیز میک شیور دیٹ یو ریئلی ڈو وانٹ ٹو سے دیٹ آئی ہیو نو پرابلم ود دیٹ وی وانٹ ٹو سے اٹ گو ہیڈ اٹس بٹوین یو اینڈ یور رب مائی جاب از اونلی ٹو شو یو دا مرر اپ ٹو یو وانٹ ٹو لک لائک دیٹ دیٹس اپ ٹو یو بٹ دا ویری ویری امپورٹنٹ تھنگ ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ از ایٹ لیسٹ ڈو دیٹ کانشیسلی سو دیٹ یو آر ویری کلیئر ان یور مائنڈ واٹ یو آر ڈوئنگ ڈزنٹ میک سینس ٹو گیٹ کاٹ وین یو ڈنٹ ایون وانٹ ٹو گیٹ کاٹ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore to give us qulubun salim, qulub that are in submission to him jalla jalaluhu, and the visibility, the sign of that is a life which is based and which follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, today we live in such a materialistic world that we live as if our bodies are the only things that exist and matter. We are concerned about the health of our bodies. And this is a good thing, we should be concerned. We are concerned about what food we eat, what exercise we do. We are concerned about keeping the body safe from all forms of toxic foods and other toxic influences like environmental pollution and so on. We are concerned about our shape, and we don't accept that round is also a shape. We do believe that human beauty is different from beauty with cows. For example, a pregnant cow looks nice to other cows, but to look like a pregnant cow when you are a human being is not particularly nice. We accept all of this, but the fact is that, and therefore we also have annual health checks, not because we are sick, but because we want to detect sickness before it happens. The check is supposed to detect signs of illness so that preventative action may be taken to nip it in the bud and or to prevent it altogether. Now, we are told that especially after we reach the age of 40, which is supposed to be an age of wisdom, but in the materialistic world, it's the age when you now start trying to get out whatever health insurance you paid for 40 years, you want to start getting some payback from that. So we are told that especially after the age of 40, we must compulsorily have an annual health check. All very well. As I said, I've got no quarrel with any of this. But my question is, what about the qalb? What about the heart? What about the ruh? What about the spirit? What about the soul? What is the food for that? What is the food for the qalb? What is the food for the ruh? What is the exercise for the qalb? What is the exercise for the ruh? What strengthens your ruh? What strengthens your qalb? Same logic that we apply for the body. Huh? What are the toxic influences that we need to protect our qulub and our arwah from so that they don't fall sick? Is it that the qalb is completely immune to every toxic influence? It's not. It is not. Rasulullah said in a hadith, he said the eye is like an arrow and it goes straight to the heart. When I was trying to memorize some Quran, I asked my Shaykh, I said, you know, my brain is old, so what must I do? He said, guard your eyes. Look at what are you looking at? What are you seeing? Nothing to do with your brain cells. He said, guard your eyes. The Quran will not go into a qalb which is full of filth. So you can't be watching all kinds of stuff and then also expect the Quran to reside in your heart. You can't be listening to what Allah has prohibited and expect the Quran to be in your heart. Doesn't work. Imam Shafi rahmatullah, famous story about Imam Shafi. Imam Shafi rahmatullah was the student of Imam Malik. And he was one of his greatest students. And he had a memory. There are many people among the Salaf who had these absolutely incredible memories which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Completely photographic memories. Imam Shafi used to say that when I'm reading a book, I cover one page because otherwise it imprints into my mind. So I read only one page at a time. He said I used to cover the page. Otherwise it gets confused, you know, too much of data. Once Imam Shafi rahmatullah was traveling somewhere in a kafila. They got caught in a storm, in a flash flood, and all their animals and everything else they got washed away, and eventually they managed to find a bank, so nobody died, but all their material and all their luggage and everything else was completely dunked in water. And among the things in Imam Shafi's saddlebags were a set of books which he was taking with him. So when he was taking these books with him and when he was going, what happens to books which are handwritten in ink on paper and you're talking about, you know, centuries ago, you dunk them in water, what happens? Everything becomes one coagulated mass. It's completely destroyed. You can't even open and dry them out. It's totally gone. So all his students who were with him, they were absolutely desolated. People were, you know, they said, what's going to happen? All the books are gone and so on and so on. And they found that Imam Shafi rahmatullah was absolutely calm and they didn't see any sign of any anxiety on his face. So they came and asked him, they said, why? All these books are gone, you're not even bothered. He said, get some paper, get some pen. He said, book number. He said, the name of the book, title of the book is so-and-so. Start writing. He said, title of the book, so-and-so, written by so-and-so. This is his, they used to write the a brief biography of the author. This is the biography of the author. Page number one, read. And during the course of that safari, he dictated all those books. So it's not just Quran. I mean, whatever he read, he memorized. And this is not only Imam Shafi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi was like that. Imam Ghazali was like that. Imam Ghazali got caught in a with some bandits once. And they were looting the caravan. So the head of the bandits came to him. So Imam Ghazali told him, take whatever you want, but leave my books. So the bandit said, what books? So Imam Ghazali said, these are my books. He said, for what? He said, that is my knowledge. So don't take it from me. The bandit laughed at me. He said, your knowledge is something that I can steal? He said, what use is that knowledge? What good is the knowledge that a bandit can steal from you? Now Al-Ghazali said, I made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from that day he said, every single thing I read, I memorized. And we are talking about, we can't even remember phone numbers today. So my point I'm making is that this is the issue of people who are concerned about their qalb, who are concerned about their hearts, and the fact that these hearts are affected. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi was the dean of Sharia of Jamia Osmania in Baghdad, in the Khilafah. And one day they couldn't find him anywhere. He was in his 20s at that time. He was a dean, so he had ministerial rank and all that went with it, and so on and so forth. And one day they couldn't find, he didn't come to work, he didn't know where he was. When they went looking for him, they found him in the Jamia, in the Grand Mosque, sweeping the floor as a janitor. So they said, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you here? He said, I found that my heart has gone dead. He said, all of this university work. Now, what was he doing? He was reading haram. He's talking about Islam. He's talking about fiqh. He's talking about Quran, hadith, and so on and so forth. But he said, the whole focus on academia alone. And then all that comes with an administrative part of the job and the people and so on and so forth. He said, this has deadened my heart. So he said, I have to revive my heart. Forget all this. I'm not interested. What about your job? I don't care. And on a side note, a part of that story is that one day he was sweeping and so on and so forth. He saw there was a group of ulama, halaqa, which was sitting there in the jamia. And a man came and asked a question. So Imam Ghazali is sweeping the floor. They don't know who he is. He is sweeping the place nearby. So he overheard the conversation. The man came and asked a question. And all of these scholars were sitting there. They heard the question. They asked him some other questions to clarify and so on and so forth. They contemplated. They discussed and so on. And finally they said to the man, sorry, we do not have an answer to your question. It's a very complex question. We do not know what the answer is. So the man said, okay. Now as he's walking away, this janitor calls him. He said, what was your question? The man said, this is my question. The janitor said, this is the answer. Are you satisfied? The man says, I'm satisfied, but who the hell are you? He said, you are a janitor, man. What do you know about fiqh? What do you know about Islam? So when he started saying this, the ulama who were sitting there in the halaqa, they heard this, they called him back. He said, come, what's the commotion? Why are you talking to the man? The man said, you remember the question I asked you? He said, yes. He said, he gave me the answer. So he said, what did he say? He said, he said such and such. He said, wallahi, that is the answer. That is the answer. Where is the man? He's gone. He's gone. Concern for the health of the heart. I'm not talking about doing cardiac profiles in corporate hospitals. I'm talking about the heart that goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the toxic influences? What are the things that you need to do and I need to do to ensure that the heart doesn't fall sick? What are the germs that cause this heart, that infect the qalb and cause it to malfunction? What are the germs called? Shukuk, shubuhat, doubts, doubts in faith, doubts in iman, doubts in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are issues. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say jasadun salim. He said qalbun salim. Again, please don't take me wrong. I'm not against having a healthy body that works. But Allah did not make a healthy body that works a condition of success on the day of judgment. Allah made a healthy heart that works. Qalbun salim, a condition. And my question is, are we really concerned about the salamati of our qulub? So, what must one do if one is not satisfied with the state of one's heart? So, first and foremost, question to ask yourself, and do go sit down peacefully, leave your phones aside and so on and so forth, and ask yourself this one question, which only you can answer. This is not for you to ask somebody else, it's for you to answer. And that question is, am I satisfied with the state of my heart? Some of us may have to first of all ask another question before that, which I have asked before as well, which is, where is this heart? What is the meaning of heart? But hopefully, listen to this series of lectures, I at least hope I have pointed you in the direction. But once you do find your heart, ask yourself this question, am I satisfied with the condition of my heart? Do I have qalbun salim? What if I drop dead now? And that day will come. Without a doubt, that day will come. Yesterday I was sitting in somebody's house, which was built in 1893 at a cost of 40 lakhs. Today 40 crores won't buy it. It was somebody's house. You call it by different names, but it was somebody's house. When the man who built it and the man who later on bought it and lived in it, if he said, I'm going home, he was going there. He did not say, I'm going to Falak to my palace. I don't think Mahavali Khan ever used the word Falak to my palace. He would have said, go home. I don't think Shahjahan ever said, let us go to the Red Fort. He said, go home. Which is 50 times the size of Falak to my palace. But they had to die. And so will I, and so will you. And when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their palace and my palace and your palace will not stand with us. What will stand with us is our amal. What will stand with us is our qulub. So what must you do? 9 things. Number one, and this whole text will be on the site, so you don't have to take notes. But keep this in mind and actually work on it. Number one is, once we arrive at a decision, as I said, the one before number one is, do I need to do anything at all? And if the answer is no, I don't need to do anything, then you don't have to listen anymore. You can turn your brain off, and then when the adhan is called, you can turn it back on again. But if you do think something needs to be done, then listen carefully. First and foremost is tawbah wal istighfar. To turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah mentioned, the quality of qalbun salim is qalbun munib. A heart that is filled with repentance. And that this clarification also, the explanation of this I gave, I think, like the last Jummah or the one Jummah before that. So qalbun munib is a qalb which is full of repentance, of turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So istighfar and tawbah, which is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to reorganize our lives with only one operative question for every situation, for every investment of time, every investment of money, every investment of energy, and every decision. Just one single operative question, just one single criterion to decide, do I do this or I don't do that? Now what is that question? Anybody? What's the one question? Does it please Allah? Jazakallahu khair. Does it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal? Life is very simple, believe me. Life is very simple. Islam is very simple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called ad-deenu yusra. Deen is easy. How is it easy? Because there's only one question. You are not given a huge, complex assessment strategy, no. One single question. Does it please Allah? I'm about to say something. Does it please Allah? Yes, it pleases Allah. I say it. No, it does not please Allah. I don't say it. I'm not sure whether it pleases Allah or not. What do? I don't say it until I satisfy myself. First and foremost, tawbah wal istighfar. Reorganize your life very, very quickly. Does this please Allah? And do accordingly. Number two, ikhlas. Innamal amalu bin niyat. What kind of niyat? A niyah which is full of khulus. A niyah which is only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a niyah to show off, not a niyah to tell anybody else, not a niyah that X, Y or Z should be happy with what I am doing. No. Only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? People who have ikhlas in their niyah, actually if they do something and people are not pleased, then they do two things. First of all, they do check to see whether the reason people are not pleased is something that is a matter of fault which they should correct. And if it is not that, then they are actually very happy that people are not pleased, because before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is dalil to say, Allah, I did not do it to please them because they were not pleased anyway. So, ikhlas, sincerity in everything that we do, seek only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect ourselves from all forms of riya, all forms of showing off. And Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when they asked him what is riya, he said, a riya is like a black ant crawling on a black rock on a dark, moonless, starless night. It is that hidden shirk. So what must you do? Now obviously by definition, if it is so hidden, maybe even you can't see it. But what must you do? Therefore, continuously make tawbah. Especially if people praise you for something you do, make even more tawbah. Alhamdulillah, the praise, if it comes without your wanting it, if it comes bismillahi ta'ala, minallahi ta'ala, this is good, alhamdulillah. This is inshallah bashara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But did you want that praise? Was there something in your heart to say, I wish people like this? Make tawbah. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds you accountable for that, then all those deeds will get wiped out. And on the day of judgment, we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without all of those deeds. And definitely, I don't want this and you don't want this. So make sure that the all forms of riya, showing off, ostentation, and so on is not there. Never take money for the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never seek fame from it. Do not take money. Even if somebody gives you money as a gift, give it away in charity. Definitely don't ask. I mean, I don't have to say that. Definitely don't ask. But sometimes what happens is that you do something and then somebody comes and gives you a gift. And then what do you do with that? Give it away in charity. Don't use it. Do not use it. Take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the Anbiya did, and give to the people. Don't take from the people like the priests of other religions do. Begging in Islam is not a sign of goodness. Begging is a sign of piety in other religions, not in Islam. Allah did not send us to beg from people. Allah sent us to take from Him, Jalla Jalalu. And therefore, you need to learn how to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on your sins and mistakes. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not compelled to accept our work. And so therefore our work is for ourselves. So do good and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it and make tawbah continuously. People asked, when the ayat was revealed, that people who do good and are afraid. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radhiyallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does this refer to people who are making some mistakes? He said, no, this is for people who realize that what good they do, Allah is not bound to accept that. He said, I gave charity. So what? You gave charity from what Allah gave you. It's not yours in the first place. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance of that. That is point number two. First is tawbah. Two is ikhlas. Three, earn and eat halal. And do they become absolutely obsessive about this. Do this with obsessive strictness. Shun all doubtful things. If you have a doubt, it must not pass your lips. If there is a doubt, it must not come into your bank account. Absolutely clear. Don't earn anything which has doubts, and don't eat anything which has doubts. Treat all such things as if it is poison, and the fact is that it is not poison, it is much worse than poison. Poison will kill you once, this will keep killing you forever. Because the pain of this is forever. So don't put yourself into that position. Earn and eat halal. Be absolutely obsessive. Don't worry about convincing others. People get into a lot of complications. No, no, I told this one, he didn't. It's your mouth, it is your belly, it is your heart, it is your life, it is your cover. Forget about everybody. You don't eat, finish, khalas. You don't even have to give an explanation to anybody. Why are you not eating this chicken? Because I don't know, I did not know this chicken personally. Simple. That's my standard response. I only eat chickens that I knew personally. Number four, zikr. Connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about everything. Develop your own relationship with Him that only you and He know. Jalla jalaluhu. Ensure that you are constantly engaged in zikr in one form or another. Many forms of zikr. Tilawat al-Quran is zikr, salah is zikr, earning halal is zikr, reciting the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zikr, sending salat and salam, durud on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is zikr, and is one of the best forms of zikr, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salat and salam on you 10 times for every one time that you send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many forms of zikr, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us, made it open for us to do zikr in many, many ways. So do zikr continuously. That also makes difficult to do haram. It makes difficult to talk nonsense. It makes difficult to talk to do ghiba, this, that. So it keeps you safe, alhamdulillah. Ensure that there are no waking times that you are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And introduce the mention of Allah into your normal everyday conversations. Today we have reached a stage where it seems as if the name of Allah and the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are banned in our own homes. It's very bad. We really need to do that. If somebody comes, and normally this happens, people invite me, that's why I never accept any invitations for lunches and dinners. Because they invite me and then they say, please, ara kuch boliye. So I have to pay for my food every time, wherever I go. And the moment I start talking, then everybody gets one funereal expression on their faces, as if some great calamity is going to befall them right now. Because you are not used to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your house. Don't do that. Make this a normal conversation. Make the recitation of Quran. Remember, the walls and the air and the curtains and the carpets and everything else will bear witness on the day of judgment. Let them hear your voice. They will bear witness. This brick and mortar will bear witness that they heard your voice reciting the kalam of Allah. Don't put on tapes of Mishari and this one. That your voice. Alhamdulillah, listen to the Quran, no problem, but your own voice, recite Quran. And if you don't know how to recite Quran, that is what will bring that up, and you say, oh Allah, I have to learn tajweed, I'm reciting wrong. Inshallah, you will start learning also. But recite, when you are reciting, even if you don't know, try to do the best that you can do. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward. Then fulfill the faraid and the sunnah. As I mentioned to you, the sunnah is fard. So fulfill all the faraid and fulfill the sunnah, knowing that this is fard. And then make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever mistakes and whatever shortcomings that we will have. Rights of people, point number six, rights of people. Ensure that you fulfill the rights of people by your speech and your behavior, and that you do not harm anybody directly or indirectly. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will not forgive the person until the one that he wronged forgives him first. And on the day of judgment, forgiveness is going to be in very short supply. So we don't want to reach there with all kinds of backlog of stuff that we have done to people in this world. Please. So make sure that you, if you do something wrong, immediately go and apologize. It happens sometimes out of anger, this, that, you might say something. Immediately go and make amends and make sure that the matter is settled in this dunya. Don't take it with you in your qabr. Number seven, forgive and seek forgiveness. Free your heart from all hatred. Hatred is fire, and the result is always ash. Hatred is like holding a live red hot coal in your hand. It only burns you, nobody else. People carry all kinds of completely stupid grudges lifelong. Someday somebody said something and you want to carry that trash with you the whole of your life. No problem, most welcome, that's your life. But do think about that. So free your heart from all hatred by seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking the forgiveness of those that you wronged. And don't go and say, if I did something wrong. You know if you did wrong or not. Go and make a proper apology. And people send these messages. If I have done something wrong, forgive. You don't even know if you did wrong or not. What are you asking me forgiveness for? So get serious in life. If you did something wrong, go ask forgiveness. Don't say, if I did. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive you unless you seek the forgiveness of those you wronged. So ensure that you do not die with that account in debit. Forgive those who wronged you, because if you don't, that fire will burn only you. Shun all hatred. All hatred is fire, and the result is always ash. Number 8, focus on your ending. Remember that one day I will die. In my text I have said, remember that one day even you will die. Because we live as if we will not die. Everyone else will die, except me. That's what our life seems to be. If somebody looks at a film of our life and says, does this person look like he's going to die? I don't think so. Because if he really thought he was going to die, would he or she be doing all the stuff that they are doing? No, they won't be doing that. Right? Seriously, I mean, one of my lectures, I inadvertently caused a lot of confusion, and may Allah bless all of you who are very concerned that I am going to drop dead or something. I said that I have been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and that illness is called life. And people really thought that. People said, no, aap chupa rahe. You have been diagnosed with, I told you, I have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. It's called life. Why do I say that? What is a terminal illness? Terminal illness is that which there is no cure for and which ends in death. So what is life? Life always ends in death. So life is a terminal illness. And that's why you call this a veil of tears, right? Seriously, let us understand this. If a doctor tells us that you have got 3 months to live, 6 months to live, we get very concerned. But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said you don't even have 1 second to live. And we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. He is the Nabi. But how much faith do we have in his word? He said, you do not even have 1 second to live. Don't believe that when you are saying salam from the left shoulder that you will actually reach the right shoulder. Actually, if you die in that state, that's beautiful, because that's at the end of salah. Between the two salams, you die. Alhamdulillah. But I'm saying that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in terms of time, don't even think that you will go from here to here. We heard this, how many times we would have heard this? Millions of times we heard the hadith, but doesn't go inside the heart. But the doctor says you got only 3 months to live. How does he know? He is not Alimul Ghaib, he is not Allah. That is his assessment. I know people who were given this, 3 weeks to live. And today is like 25 years later, the man is still alive and well. So, Alhamdulillah, we are not saying doctors are fools. They are not fools. They are working within the framework of their knowledge. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them and give them, put shifa in their hand, inshallah. But shifa comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves, even I will die. Say this to yourself. Stand in front of the mirror and say, even I will die. Therefore, what is my preparation? What is my preparation? And the last one is balance your books. We know the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a man from Jannah 3 times. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went to him and he asked him, and we know the whole story, so I won't go into the details, but what is the bottom line of that story? The bottom line is, he said, every night I settle my books, I close my accounts. So what is the meaning of that? He said, every night I make sure that I forgive whoever I needed to forgive, and I seek the forgiveness of whoever I needed the forgiveness of. Now, brothers and sisters, that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. About the itminan of the qalb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where is it to be found? In the zikr of Allah. Just think about that. All the wealth we acquire, all the power and control that we like to have is for what? Is for peace of mind. Nobody earns money to eat money. You know everyone knows you don't eat gold, and you definitely don't eat paper and credit cards. Well, why do you have them? Because it gives you that cushion. That cushion that saves me from whatever difficulties might come at me from life. That's what we think. But where is the actual cushion is in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu then described, we ask Allah to make all of these true for us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described for us The condition of people who have Qalbun Salim at the time when the curtain is lifted and when they are poised to step over the threshold, intiqal, muntaqil huna, to go from one room to another room, to go from this life to another life. Death is not the cessation of life. Death is the name of the door through which you go from one life to into another life. From Alamul Shahada to Alamul Barzakh. That is also life. You don't cease to exist. You just exist now in a different way. And at that time when the curtain is lifted, when the ghaib becomes the hazir, the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this about those who have Qalbun Salim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika. Tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika tuwalla takhafu wa la tahzanu. Wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fussilat, verily those who say قالوا ربنا الله, those who said Allah is my Rabb, ثم استقاموا, and then they stood firmly on that claim of theirs, on them the malaika will descend, and what will they do? They will say, Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu, do not fear, do not grieve. Have no fear, have no sadness. But receive the abshiru bil jannati lati kuntum tu'adun. Receive the glad tidings of Jannah which you were promised. The person is still in a state of nazar, they haven't even died, but Allah is sending them the bashara of Jannah. May Allah make this true for all of us, inshaAllah. And they will say, Nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. We were your awliya in this dunya and in the akhirah. We will also be in your akhirah. And where is this, what is this akhirah? Therein you will have all that you used to desire. And therein you will have all for which you used to ask. The journey which nobody, for every human being, including the Anbiya, that journey they have never done before. First time. And no matter how good the life might have been, no matter how many assurances you might have got from everyone, we don't know. So it's a time of fear for everyone. And at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Malaika. The Malaika will say, don't worry, we are coming with you. You're not alone. And Allah has sent you the Bashar of Jannah. So nothing to fear. Don't fear, don't be sad. We ask Allah for this, inshaAllah. Nuzulam min ghafoori rahim. This good news is the opening. It is the nuzul. It is the welcome. It is just the start. And what your Rabb has for you is far beyond this, inshaAllah. My brothers and sisters, the key is to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb, which we all do, and then to stand firm on that acceptance, which means live only for His pleasure. And that is what the person with Qalbun Salim does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled the believer who was dying, and he said, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. In Surah Al-Waqiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when the breath is stuck in the throat, the time of nazar, and you, meaning all those who are around the person, the near and dear ones, the doctors, the physicians, the whoever are struggling to keep that person alive, all your machines, Allah says, when the breath is stuck in the throat and you are looking on, at that time we are nearer to the person than you can imagine, but you cannot see us. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. But we are nearer to Him than you are. Even though you are standing next to Him, Allah says we are nearer to Him even than that. But you cannot see us. And then Allah challenges them and Allah says, if you think you are so powerful, bring back that throat, bring back that breath, give back that life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us this ma'iyat of him Jalla Jalaluhu, and to give us this ihsas of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. Inshallah, next Jummah I am planning to do a khutbah on that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Inshallah, we'll talk about that. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the very final moments when the soul is being extracted, a time that is normally extremely difficult and painful, and which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us against, the difficulty of death, al-sakratul maut. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this and he asked us to ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this, and we ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from sakratul maut for all of us and for all of our mutaliqin, inshallah. But for the one who has this qalbun salim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan marudiyya fadukhuli fi ibadi wadukhuli jannati. It will be said to those people, O you, the one with tranquility of being, nafsul mutmainna, the qalbun salim, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. Now, I don't have the time or even the expertise to go into the word by word analysis, but you must really read this. Allah did not say irji'i ila rabbil alameen. Allah said irji'i ila rabbiki. Return to your Rabb. Your Rabb. Whose Rabb? The one who you said, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Your istiqamat proved that he was your Rabb. And Allah says, now return to your Rabb. Well pleased and well pleasing to him. And then Allah says, enter you among my honored slaves. فَدُخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Enter into that august company of anbiya wa shuhada wa salihin. Inshallah. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter into my Jannah. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Jannah. And Allah will decide who enters into it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that for all of us, inshallah. Make it part of our qadr, inshallah, that we enter into his Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness and for his blessing. We ask Allah for his protection for ourselves and for all the Muslimin all across the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help for all of those who need the help, for all of those who are helpless, for all of those who need his protection and for his, and all of us are among them, inshallah, us and the others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased with us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.